Yes, it's that time of the week again. It's Thursday, and there's a twofer this week. Today's day is the last day of September, as we head off into October and more chilly weather, so it seems. This is the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. Enjoy the show. Hi all and welcome to this week's show. We'll start off with a mad world, and it is a mad world. TPC update. 6 lots now fully owned by TPC members and 2 others now under contract, and another 1, possibly 2, to follow under contract next week. Now, for those of you who are not on our social media pages, I've had a few emails and I've asked how they can keep up to date with the extra shows. Well, our designated website to all THI shows that posts the latest show 1 to 2 days prior, and all of the past shows in categories for the must listen to section of our shows, is on thi-show.com. Now, the must listen to has sections like the From Russia With Love series, the Exposé series, the ET Full Disclosure series, event 1 through 3, and many other extra shows on top of the regular Thursdays show. So if you wish to catch up with all our THI shows and get the bigger picture of what has, is and will play out on this planet, those archives cover it all. Now, I'm sure all THI members and listeners will wish Billy Willits a speedy recovery in his fight against cancer. Now, this show tonight will be more news-based episode. I did have a large section on financial issues, which I had to take out, and that will go into an extra show for more impact this coming Saturday evening at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tonight's show will be a little bit shorter, and the Saturday show also will not be the full 3 hours we normally do. And with that being said, let's get on with the show, shall we? Bodies with a Vagina and Gentlemen. Welcome to another roundup of insight, brutal truth, and a twist of sarcasm and humour thrown into the mix. With certain women being hardened by the feminist movement, one has to question just where is their outrage of that statement? Bodies with a vagina. Dear me. You can't get any more crude and divisive. Now, it's often said wrongly, in my opinion, that men only want women for one body part, and yet the word salad woke culture defines women only by their vag. But if the woke culture are all vegans and only like word salad, I guess they won't be swallowing the meat anymore. And perhaps they need to do more word salad and change the W in woke to a J. But how about we address to all of our bodies with an open heart? Bodies with common sense, bodies with balance, bodies with soul development, bodies with adult thinking, bodies with critical thinking. That way, we can all talk freely with common sense and away from the banality of stupid people running stupid programs, stupid agendas, whilst making up ways of looking more stupid than ever before. Let these people carry on with their offended by everything and self-pity culture. Let them flap their flaps into the clap. And if ever there was a beneficial side to sterilisation, these people who come up with, careful Thomas, some people will be offended by the use of the term come up with, as it's a reference to the penis, who come up with these ridiculous and divisive statements, this is it. But remember, bodies with a vagina. I will reference correctly a famous quote, "The penis is mightier than the sword." and us men are like the Arby's advert. We have the meat. My sponsor would like to put up a disclaimer that no penises or vaginas were harmed during this broadcast, and this broadcast was brought to you by Common Sense. It is not sponsored by any jackass-level people. It does not include letter-based labels, and is brought to you by awakened people, not the past particle version they created to compete with the awake called woke. The broadcaster echoing another advert would like you to ask you to think responsibly, not drink responsibly, because these people are drunk on their own delusions. Indeed. Right, after that slightly saucy and humorous opening, that's all they deserve. And in case some are wondering about the opening piece, here is why. The prestigious, or so-called prestigious, medical journal Lancet is in hot water over its latest issue after a quote on the cover from the senior editor has triggered widespread outrage on social media for dehumanizing and erasing women. And it said, historically, the anatomy and physiology of bodies with vaginas have been neglected, according to the quote on the cover of its September 25th issue. Has been neglected. Oh dear. Well, there's plenty of incels, who we mentioned last week, who would love to pamper their neglected vaginas. Why not join up and make everyone happy? Or perhaps another solution is to replace the medical masks with vagina masks, and then everyone's happy. Problem solved. You have to laugh and have a laugh at the rank stupidity of the old world and their desperate attempts to distract, throw people off balance, and lure you back in with their lies and complete and utter retardedness. But there's also an added bonus to humour. The AI doesn't understand it. Artificial intelligence is for artificial people. Perhaps that is a pointer. And speaking of artificial, that leads us to the next piece. As far back as early last year, I made a reference to the Mask Man, Biden. And now it seems that new information has been spread around the alt media this past week. And it is stated that Biden had a massive stroke back in February of last year and also declared brain dead. I think he was that before the stroke, just saying. So the Democrats, just like they tried to do when Hillary died before the election, tried to get a replacement. And from all accounts, the replacement is an actor who has actually played Biden in some shows, and he's called Arthur Roberts, who is actually older than Biden himself. Now, the DNC deemed Kamala Harris as not suitable for the role and went about courting someone else for when the duplicate fake actor dies as well. Now, in a recent press conference briefing with UK leader Boris Johnson & Johnson, fake Biden began talking about his acting career. And then Boris turned off his mic, or so he thought, but not enough for some to hear him say, "You are not Joe Biden. Who the bloody hell are you?" I think 300 million Americans would like that answer as well. And Psaki, the White House spokesperson, overheard it and freaked out, and I hear she's now under investigation as well. About time. She's been lying to the public since she took that role. But Psaki then proceeded to close down the briefing, citing questions were not pre-approved, and so cleared the room. But remember, when I mentioned how a certain person I have slammed many times on our show has gone all too quiet. Because the rumours are, should the fake Biden pass on or get removed, is the snaking lord himself, Jared Kushner, will take over. Well, I never. And for people who think, well, he was a Republican with Trump. No, both Trump and Kushner were long-term Democrats. In fact, Kushner has paid to the DNC since he was a teenager. All pre-arranged, you see. But just when you thought New York can't sink any lower, and having got rid of Cuomo, in came a new one we all hoped would be better than the last. But that reality never bears fruit, does it? The New York Governor, Kathy Hochul, says the vaccine is from God and I need you to be my apostles. Which God? Was it the one that sent the plagues previously or the fiery serpents? This is pure religious-based coercion using the familiar guilt and shame program that religion was designed for, and it's utter shameful tactics by a desperate group of psychopaths. The credibility of the FBI has to be called into question due to four stories this week alleging outright theft, incompetence, and or being a player for the criminal elites. Now, a major allegation has been made against the FBI earlier this week concerning the massive ransomware attacks that plagued the US this summer. And the agency reportedly obtained the digital key to decrypt malware on the computers of hundreds of businesses and institutions, but refused to use it for at least 3 weeks. I'm surprised he didn't say 2 weeks. But where is the congressional hearing into why this took place? And who gained from allowing it to go ahead? And why isn't heads on the chopping block again? Where is the accountability, and can the FBI be trusted? Well, the answer to the last question may be swayed by this next story. The conservative commentator Nick Fuentes, who said he was in Washington DC on January the 6th, but was nowhere near the Capitol building when things escalated, said that the FBI has raided his bank account and stole $500,000, which he apparently has no legal recourse to recover. Just like that. Now, Fuentes, the 23-year-old host of the live-streamed America First program, said he had attended Donald Trump's rally on January the 6th, which he called a civil First Amendment protected demonstration, and added that the FBI and the Department of Justice are investigating him, even though he was not at the Capitol when the building was breached. Now, according to the report, Fuentes said he was first alerted when his bank card was declined, and then he learned his checking account was completely drained, with almost $500,000 gone. And he says his bank confirmed a legal order had been placed against it, but could not elaborate. Really? Thought the bank were there to protect your money, not allow thieves to steal it. But over 2 weeks later, he says the bank provided numbers for attorneys working for the Department of Justice, and from this, he gathered he was under investigation by the FBI. And Fuentes says the reason why this is so crushing is because the Department of Justice and the FBI are immovable. Because of the war on terror, because of the Patriot Act, because of how the federal government operates, they really can do whatever they want to whoever they want, and there's nothing you can do about it. And Fuentes said a lawyer told him he had no legal recourse to recover the money, adding that the FBI could keep it for as long as they want, with no obligation to return it. Really? There's just so much wrong with this, and it's beyond frightening when one Jobsworth decides he and they can steal a load of money from someone's account based on flimsy evidence. And even if he was in the Capitol building, it still doesn't justify the crime of stealing people's money. And this is lawlessness from the supposed law themselves. And they're operating just like the IRS. And maybe it's time everything that is labelled federal is removed. If they seem to act above the law and are not accountable to the government, why are we allowing it? Or at the very least, they need a severe house cleaning. No one with any common sense can justify stealing $500,000 from someone's account for being close to a protest. That is total larceny, which is being committed by so-called law enforcement. Shameful. But if you think that is a one-off event, try this for further examples. Los Angeles. For decades now, the federal government and their cohorts in law enforcement have been carrying out theft of the citizenry on a massive scale using civil asset forfeiture. Now, the 1980s era laws were designed to drain resources from powerful criminal organisations. Yeah, right. But CAF has become a tool for law enforcement agencies across the US to steal money and property from countless innocent people. And as the following case out of Beverly Hills illustrates, no criminal charge is required for this confiscation, which is resulting in easy inflows of cash for law enforcement departments and the proliferation of abuse. Now, this phenomenon is known as policing for profit, and the latest example is exceedingly bad. Using bogus excuses, the FBI raided roughly 800 safety deposit boxes at a single location in Beverly Hills. They made random and apparently unsubstantiated accusations that the US private vault in Beverly Hills was aiding criminal activity. And the business was indicted in February on claims that it marketed itself to criminals to help them launder money and dodge government detection. But not one person was ever charged. Wouldn't it be great if they did that to all the banks? Because all of them are involved in laundering money and connected to criminal and terrorist groups. And instead, the FBI raided the place and confiscated, or rather robbed, people like Joseph Ruiz and others of their life savings. Now, Ruiz and others were then forced to prove their innocence in order to get their money back. And the FBI falsely claimed that Ruiz, who is a chef, made the $57,000 they stole from him from drug dealing. And the reason they gave is because a drug dog alerted to the presence of drugs on the cash. Could have told them that before they took the dog in. Because it's kind of widely known that a large percentage of cash, upwards of 90% of US paper money, contains trace amounts of cocaine. And so having large amounts of cash will almost assuredly alert a drug dog. And in fact, the US Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit has ruled that government does not have probable cause to seize cash from individuals based only on a drug detection dog's reaction, stating specifically that the majority of money in circulation has drugs on it, which is correct. The problem most miss here was in that statement. The government does not have the cause, because the federal entities are not government related. And they have carte blanche to do what they like and when they like. That is the problem. But court precedents and ethical enforcement of the law apparently mean very little to the FBI, who confiscated the life savings of hundreds of people for this very reason. And Ruiz was forced to produce documents proving his innocence and showed the source of the money was legitimate in order to get it back. In other words, he was guilty until proven innocent. But Ruiz was one of many people who were robbed by these agents, and in total they robbed 800 people of $86 million in cash, jewellery and precious metals. Hundreds of those involved have contested the government-sanctioned theft. It's not government, it's the federal. It is different. And 65 of them have filed suit. The solution for this can be stopped with one sweep of a pen. But it is allowed because the politicians are all bought and paid for and allow people at the top of these organizations designated to serve and protect the people to turn them into unaccountable criminal organizations. Sadly, the FBI were also mentioned in bad light in this next piece as well. But if you ever hear from any news media, politician, agency or military people spouting that China is the enemy ever again, remember this story. It's all fake. No country is ever in opposition. It is all media fear-based rhetoric outside of the Israel problem. And here's why. Federal law enforcement agencies are purchasing surveillance drones from a Chinese company the Pentagon has deemed a potential national security threat, even though they deal with and trade with China also. Remember the PPEs, Pentagon? And efforts to purge military and law enforcement agencies of potentially compromised Chinese technology have stalled amid so-called bureaucratic red tape. And the experts worry that the federal government is needlessly exposing itself to snooping by malicious foreign actors. Not really. Now, the US Secret Service is the latest to purchase surveillance drones from the Shenzhen-based company DJI, which dominates the commercial drone market in America and abroad. And the Secret Service bought 8 DJI drones on July 26th, according to procurement records, and that was 3 days after the Defense Department released a statement saying DJI products pose potential threats to national security. The FBI bought 19 DJI drones a few days earlier, according to records. Now, DJI makes an array of consumer products that are tremendously popular, including the Phantom and Mavic drone series as well as the Osmo image stabilization handle. And while the products are used for personal and commercial purposes, they also require the user to download proprietary DJI software and to fly using mapping databases that have the potential to be monitored remotely. Now, security concerns surrounding these products are long-standing, but DJI insists all such concerns are unfounded and based on misunderstanding or misrepresentation of its technology. Yeah, right. Now, in 2017, the Department of Homeland Security, the Secret Service's parent agency, how many do we really need, stated with moderate confidence that DJI was providing US critical infrastructure and law enforcement data to the Chinese government. In 2019, the Interior Department, which also uses DJI products, grounded its entire non-emergency drone fleet because of concerns about Chinese government intrusions. The Commerce Department added DJI to an export blacklist last year after Bloomberg reported it had supplied surveillance technology to Chinese security forces in Xinjiang, where millions of Uyghur Muslims have been forced into internment camps. Now, DJI's cybersecurity vulnerabilities are well documented, they say, according to Senator Marco Rubio, who has pressed for greater scrutiny of contractors being the operative word, and you all know who are connected to that, with Chinese government ties. And he said, given everything we know about the Chinese Communist Party, which is the Chinese Zionist Party, and its companies, there is absolutely no excuse for any government agency to use DJI drones or any other drones manufactured in countries identified as national security threats, according to Rubio in an emailed statement. Now, the DJI spokesman, Adam Lisberg, disputed all allegations that the company's data is not secure or has been passed on to the CCP, and claims that somehow DJI products are transmitting customer data back to China, or DJI, or anywhere they're not supposed to be, are just false. Yeah, right. And he said, no one has ever found a deliberate attempt to steal data or any other of the fantasies promoted by some of our critics. It simply isn't true. Now, the Secret Service, when asked for their opinion, declined to comment, citing operational security. Oh, there we go again with the National Security Act. And the FBI also declined to comment. Now, lawmakers have cracked down in recent years on federal procurement of Chinese-made telecommunications and surveillance equipment, and obviously the most prominent cases involved telecom and consumer electronics giant Huawei Technologies. And efforts to phase out Chinese-made technology have been slow due to bureaucratic constraints and the cost and complexity of replacing the systems. Now, DJI has implemented privacy and data protection measures as concerns have grown about potential Chinese access to US government data. They have it all anyway. I don't know why they insist that they're trying to look for it. Israel give them most of it, just saying. And in June, a DOD report cleared a pair of DJI drones for federal use, saying its analysis found no malicious code or intent. A Pentagon statement in July disavowed that finding, calling it inaccurate and its release unauthorized. And some experts believed and noted the possibility that the agencies purchased DJI drones to study the devices or develop countermeasures. Now, a ban on Pentagon purchases of off-the-shelf Chinese drones provides exceptions for purchases designed to hone such countermeasures. And the language in the FBI and Secret Service contracts cast doubt on that explanation, though. And the Secret Service wrote its DJI drones will supplement the agency's existing fleet of small unmanned aircraft and improved mission support through its use of the most up-to-date equipment and software. But Clon Kitchen, who is a defense and cyber security expert at the American Enterprise Institute, said if the federal government is purchasing DJI drones for counter-drone or other security research, that's fine. But otherwise, in a world where you have plenty of alternatives, including some US alternatives that are very good, why would federal agencies assume the inherent risks of Chinese-made systems? Why indeed? China, the enemy? It depends which faction you are fighting for. Because this reeks of faction-based posturing and is of no benefit to America or Americans. Are they telling us this story, what they're telling us really, or are they telling us out of the vast budgets all these fake American agencies gain, they can't produce their own or buy from their own immensely wide range of shell corporations? They have to go to China? Is that what they're telling us? Remember that I've said every organization stated to serve and protect the people are corrupt? Well, here is another example. The World Health Organization staff were among 83 aid workers who sexually abused women and girls while tackling the Ebola outbreak in the Democratic Republic of Congo, a report finds. And the abuses, which included 9 allegations of rape, were committed by both national and international workers between 2018 and 2020. And the report comes after more than 50 local women reported sexual abuse. Now, the WHO Director General Tedros Ghebreyesus said this was inexcusable. Really? What about all of the crimes that have gone previously that you've ignored? And a 35-page report was produced by an independent commission following an investigation, and the commission, which interviewed dozens of women who had alleged they were offered work in exchange for sex, found that 21 of the 83 alleged perpetrators were employed by the World Horror Organization. And local women were plied with drinks, ambushed in hospitals, forced to have sex, and 2 of them became pregnant. So, the World Horror Organization is just like the UN then, committing sex acts, pedophilia, sterilizing and terrorizing the people they profess to protect or serve. I don't think so. And at some point, all people must begin to accept this reality. They do not and never have serve or protect the people. In fact, they do great harm and atrocities against we the people. And trust in authority has to be eroded to stop this mass charade and attacks on we the people. And here is another example of it. We highlighted last week about sexual abuse done by Jewish schools, churches and colleges against children in Australia, and how they used the Mesirah to cover up all their crimes. Well, here's one that has made court. The former ultra-Orthodox school principal, Malka Leifer, has been ordered to stand trial on 70 child sexual abuse charges. Leifer, who's 55, pled not guilty to all charges at the end of a committal hearing in Melbourne on Thursday. And the allegations relate to sisters Dassey Ehrlich, Nicole Meyer, not Nicole Kidman, no, Nicole Meyer, perhaps I was mistaken, and Ellie Sapper, over incidents during Leifer's time at the Adas Israel School in the city's inner suburbs between 2004 and 2008. And the magistrate, Joanna Metcalf, said that she believed the evidence presented during a hearing, which heard from all three sisters in the closed court, was of sufficient weight to support a conviction. Now, four charges were withdrawn by prosecutors after it became clear during the evidence that those alleged incidents occurred in Israel. Now, Leifer, who is a dual Israeli-Australian citizen, fled under suspicious circumstances shortly before a warrant could be issued. Who told her? And has remained in Israeli-controlled territory from 2008 until January this year under varying levels of police and court supervision pending the resolution of her extradition case. Now, there were allegations of further victims in the West Bank were made in June 2018. So how can they allow her to stay there? And the reason being for that is, in Israel, you can gain immunity for sex crimes, as their court will not allow extradition for charges brought against Jews from other countries. Hello, Mr. Epstein. You wonder where he went? There's your answer. Now, the remaining charges are 44 counts of indecent assault, 13 of an indecent act with a child, 10 of rape, and 3 of sexually penetrating a child. And Leifer's case will now go to Victoria's County Court for a directions hearing on October the 21st. Well, let's see if she goes missing also between now and then, or they make some other Talmudic-based law up to avoid prosecution. But there was heavy support in Israel to block the extradition. Rosenbaum Communications public relations firm owner Ronan Tzur led a strategic smear campaign to block Leifer's extradition. In February 2019, it was revealed that Israel's Deputy Health Minister, Yaakov Litzman, was questioned by police on the suspicion that he had been using his position to prevent Leifer's extradition. And it was alleged that Litzman pressured doctors to falsify psychiatric evaluations that deemed Leifer unfit to stand trial and thereby preventing her extradition. And Litzman claimed that everything he did was legal. Yeah, by Talmudic law and Mezerah, yes. And that he was, quote, acting for the good of the public, unquote. Really? Since when have Israel leaders ever done anything good for their people? Like, never. But it's often said that sexual exploitation is the realm of the males. And yet this woman, like many other stories about atrocities committed by nuns, is an uncomfortable truth for many. and it allows these acts to go on and under the radar. And like the adrenochrome and sacrifice rituals, it is both genders involved in it. And recognizing there is a potential for evil in both genders will be a step forward. We're off to visit the voyeuristic perverts next, with their multitude of cameras, listening and sensor devices, and the world of spying. And Rand Paul of Kentucky announced his opposition to using FISA warrants on American citizens, specifically political candidates, during an exchange on Tuesday with the FBI Director Christopher Wray. And at a Senate Homeland Security Committee meeting, Paul questioned Wray about the surveillance of American citizens via the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, FISA. So how is that used? Or why is that used? Well, the agencies all use each other to obtain intelligence on their respective homelands, as this gets around each country's law. And this is the Five Eyes, Mossad, Chinese Secret Service, and the KGB, plus others, all of them, and I will repeat, all of them are working together. Irrespective of their countries being at war, cold or hot, in conflict with each other, none of that matters or applies to agencies. Ever. But Rand Paul said, the problem, he said, is the system can be abused and we should obey the Constitution. And he said, I don't think Americans nor political candidates should be investigated using a foreign intelligence surveillance court. And Wray responded to the senator's comment, saying he believed FISA warrants were constitutional and that they have a difference of opinion on how to characterize its legality. The problem there is Rand Paul needs to define under which Constitution it becomes legal, because Wray and the FBI and the other clowns are operating under their constitution, not we the people's. And so he is correct in what he's stating, and more politicians need to highlight we're not under the organic constitution. Now, Wray went on to credit FISA for keeping America safe following the terror attacks on September the 11th, 2001. Yes, America, the country, is safe, as the powers that be and were have never advocated for attacks on this country aside from the now obvious insider plot of 9/11. That's why we're safe. But you're not keeping Americans safe, Mr. Wray, at all. Only the corrupt systems and their criminality that you are protecting. Pegasus spyware has been found on the phones of at least 5 French ministers, according to multiple sources to news outlets. Now, the company behind the tech, well, I never... is the Israeli-based NSO group, and it denies it was used to target French officials, however. And the revelation was first made by French investigative website Mediapart, with the report further corroborated by the AFP news agency on Friday. And traces of Pegasus spyware have been found on the mobile phones of at least 5 current cabinet ministers, citing a confidential intelligence report and numerous anonymous sources. Now, the alleged activity of the spyware was traced back to 2019 and to a lesser extent 2020. Now, NSO is an Israeli technology firm primarily known for its proprietary spyware, Pegasus, which is capable of, listen closely, capable of remote zero-click surveillance of smartphones. Zero-click is surfing without clicking. And by placing your mouse anywhere, it will automatically click for you. And they say you can turn this feature on and off by clicking the icon, and the colour of the icon will tell you its status of on or off, allegedly. Well, it seems they can override that as well. And it's yet again another example of convenience being weaponized against us. Now, according to several reports, software created by the NSO group was used in targeted attacks against human rights activists and journalists in various countries and was used in state espionage against Pakistan and played a role in the murder of the Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi by agents of the Saudi government. So who are the NSO? Well, the founders are ex-members of the Unit 8200, the Israeli Intelligence Corps unit responsible for collecting signals intelligence. We have covered that group, Unit 8200, before, and their criminality. As the UK created their latest distraction piece this week, warning the bots they would run out of gas or petrol this week, and out ran the gullible and the bots and emptied all the pumps. These are the same people as the toilet paper experiment jackasses, and you just can't teach stupid. They are a repeat loop program, repeating the same words as the jackass politicians, mainstream media clowns and other so-called authorities. I think we're heading for time for designated zones to be created on this planet. Place all bots, mainstream media, politicians, bankers, brokers, cryptocurrency clowns, military and agencies in China, since they like to buy all their stuff. And leave those of us with an ounce of common sense free rein to run our own world. I did a piece a few years back and referenced it again in the past year of the secret movement of Chinese troops. Secret deals between the Chinese and the ASIO, yes, you, and plans they were building for a future interaction with Australia. Remember the warships from China turning up unannounced? That was the start, and this may well be the future. A new bill to allow foreign forces and troops to be used on Australian soil. And the report I got came from a close contact, and my partner is employed by the Australian government and works with Rod Cullerton. She has just been informed that the dark side of the Aussie government are going through the very final steps to bring in the UN forces now. That the below bill has been approved for the UN to assist in laying down the agenda. And they said, reading between the lines, my concern is that both our police and Australian Defence Force will be stripped of their rank and returned to civilian status upon UN arrival, and the majority of which will be CCP troops. and the ADF of all ranks need to hear all the truth as soon as possible, she said. The ADF and police are far more disposable than they know and may just find themselves without a salary very soon. And please warn those friends of yours who wear a uniform. Replacing the military and the police. Now, I wonder where we have heard that notion before. The old adage of that is outrageous and that will never happen is far too often rolled out by the general public and people in the alt media as far too often the outrageous and will never happen does happen. And don't think this is a one-off. Australia is the test case because of its relatively low population. It is isolated from the rest of the world and so, like New Zealand, becomes a playground or battlefield. And the next stop I would suggest is Canada. You've all seen the signs of national Zionism. And will Canadians ignore the warnings like Australians and Californians before them? The key is to be proactive, not reactive. Next portion of tonight's show is some positive news. We're going to Norway first. And Norway has reopened society and its government says it's ending its COVID-19 restrictions that have limited social interaction and ruined many businesses. And the Nordic nation joins a small but growing number of countries now, including Denmark and Britain, which have removed all domestic restrictions that limited the spread of COVID-19. Except it hasn't, because the cases have gone up 300%. And it's, he said, it's 561 days since we introduced the toughest measures in Norway in peacetime. And now the time has come to return to a normal daily life, a Prime Minister Erna Solberg told a news conference this week. Now the restrictions ended at 4 p.m. local time on Saturday. Good stuff. Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall has joined 10 other attorney generals in submitting an appeal in support of what Marshall describes as a Florida free speech law that is under assault by big tech. And Marshall and the other attorneys generals from Florida, Alaska, Arizona, Arkansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, Montana, South Carolina, and Texas are pushing back against big tech companies' efforts to take legal action against Senate Bill 7072 through trade associations representing Facebook, GoOgle, and Twitter. Now, Florida SB 7072 gives all Floridians the ability to sue big tech companies if they feel they have been treated unfairly by the companies. And it allows Florida's Attorney General to take legal action against big tech companies that treat customers or consumers unfairly, and allows the Florida Election Committee to impose fines of $25,000 per day on companies that deplatforms any candidate for statewide office, according to a press release. Good stuff. The same has to apply to the people, not just deplatforming politicians. Here's a good news thing. Some common sense. Well, I never. Manufacturers will be forced to create a universal charging solution for phones and small electronic devices under a new rule imposed by the European Commission. and the aim is to reduce waste by encouraging consumers to reuse existing chargers when buying a new device. And all smartphones or dumb phones sold in the EU must have USB-C chargers, the proposal said. And finally, some common sense. Now we must replicate it in many other fields as well. Now, I have trashed many times the world of celebrities and fake stars. And just because the media promotes them, and as I have often done, I will give praise where necessary, regardless of their status. So I'll highlight some positive aspects of a celebrity in this piece, Nicki Minaj, or Monet, as some people say, whatever, you all know who it is one of the world's most famous female rappers. And in September, or last month, or this month, nearly last month, she was attacked by the governments of the United Kingdom, Trinidad and Tobago, and the core pirate media for her tweets about the COVID-19 vaccine. And she admitted to having vaccine hesitancy and told people to do their own research before they make any personal decisions. And what's wrong with that? Well, the childlike people didn't like it, you see, because only they can tell you what to do. And she was accused of peddling misinformation to black Americans who are less likely to have had the injection, it is said. Now, Minaj has been one of the few celebrities to not promote the COVID vaccine to her fans. And most black celebrities have been recruited to promote them, as vaccine hesitancy is high among not only black Americans, but people in the Caribbean and also Africa. And last month she sent a number of tweets about the COVID-19 vaccine, revealing that she herself has vaccine hesitancy and therefore would not attend the MET gala nor perform at the MTV VMAs. Why? Because there was a vaccine passport requirement. And she didn't want to travel as she has a young baby, and she also tweeted about her relative of her cousin who had adverse side effects to the vaccine. Now, what happens next is the dark, seedy side of the media and how they operate behind the scenes using coercion, threats and intimidation for daring to question their lunacy. She was attacked by the corrupt mainstream media as an anti-vaxxer. Joy Reid from MSNBC went hard against Minaj, accusing her of being a conspiracy theorist for promoting vaccine hesitancy in the black community. A Guardian journalist contacted Minaj's cousin in a private chat on WhatsApp, and she explained that CNN was also in the country looking for him, and they would not hesitate to dox him and his girlfriend if they found them. And the Guardian reporter then claimed that the man's identity and where his loved ones lived would be safe if he completed an interview with the Guardian. Really? Where's the police on these? Now, Minaj posted the screenshots of the direct messages between the reporter and their family member to Instagram and explained that her family had been forced to hide out because she spoke against the science. Piers Morgan got trolled. Chris Whitty and Boris Johnson & Johnson mentioned her in the daily COVID press conference, and Boris named her but admitted he didn't know who she was. I'm not too sure he knows who he is, never mind anybody else. And Whitty said that myth spreaders like Nicki Minaj should be ashamed. And this is a classic example of reverse psychology being used by jackass media people, accusing others of doing what they are actually doing, and it has all the hallmarks of agency-based tactics. Now, Minaj trolled back at Whitty and Johnson, and she also called Laura Kuensberg a dumbo for unnecessarily chiming in. Meanwhile, Tucker Carlson praised her on the Tucker Carlson Tonight Show, whilst the Trinidadian government said her claims were baseless. She was then locked out of Twitter and has spoken out about censorship. But it's not just the mainstream media who wanted to shut her up. Try this. The White House contacted her and offered to arrange a phone call between her and one of the government's doctors. In other words, come here and we will threaten you and or indoctrinate you. It's just shameful tactics. Now, whether it was related or not, Minaj's father was killed in a hit and run this year. It would not surprise me in the least if it was. But the media and how they operate didn't end there. Because Minaj would not comply or back down to their threats, so they ran this story in an attempt to sway public opinion against her. A woman who Nicki Minaj's husband, Kenneth Petty, was convicted of attempting to sexually assault when she and Petty were 16 years old, spoke out publicly for the first time on Wednesday. Jennifer Hoff opened up on The Real about the harassment lawsuit she filed against the couple and the 1994 incident in which she told police at the time that Petty had pulled a knife on her and forced her into a residence where he allegedly raped her. Now, Petty pled guilty and was convicted in 1995 of attempted first-degree rape. And according to the NYPD Sex Offender Unit database, the offence was filed as sexual intercourse and noted that a knife or cutting instrument was used in the crime. Now, Petty served 4 years in New York State Prison for the incident before he was released. Now, regardless of what her husband did, all of which was 26 years ago, and he served his time for it in the last century, just how desperate are the media to dig up dirt in this manner and this time? It's beyond disgusting. Pro-pagan Dar at his evil and ugly worst. COVID BS is the next section. Clowns and jackasses.
You suck, you jackass.
Have told the world they've injected 6.03 billion people. Really? Which equates to 24,120,000 people per day. Which would be a staggering feat for fully staffed medical departments globally, except they're not, are they? As all reports globally report a massive shortage in medical people. Plus the fact that not all medical people are allowed to do jabs. So just how have they done 24 million jabs per day, every day, for the past 8 months? Notwithstanding, many countries don't have access to jabs or are not infected. more Johns Hopkins desperation math, it seems. 6 billion people. And this is their latest push of the bullshit narrative, and it's trying to convince the public they have jabbed far more than they have. And I suspect less than half in most countries have been jabbed, with the exception of the real Nazis, Israel. And it's, again, it's all about coercion and herding under the banner of the majority, and to give the impression the unvaxxed are a tiny minority of lunatics. Wrong. I would suggest it's less than 30 or around 30% in most countries. Most countries. And the people mustn't fall for their sly ass tactics and dodgy maths. Their figures are flawed, and that was the gist of this from the very start. I was going to include this next piece in the positive news, because it's absolutely extraordinary news. And I'm sarcastically amazed the media hasn't covered this major medical breakthrough story 24/7 on their Tell Lies and False Visions channels. The news is that the flu cases has gone down 379 million in the past year. And that is a major medical breakthrough that should have been announced everywhere. Why isn't the media making a song and dance about this? Because after all, it proves their case that vaccines work, does it not? No. Or maybe the public will put two and two together and find out that COVID is in part the flu, in part Milgram experiment, and in part bioweapon. So let's summarise it, shall we? 379 million missing cases of flu, and a global figure of COVID cases as of this week, according to their own figures, is 230 million, which is actually 140 million less than the flu cases. What happened to the 140 million is the only concern of this piece. But this amazing COVID virus has cured the flu when vaccines couldn't. It's an absolutely amazing virus, that. And perhaps we should celebrate it with a national holiday. We will call it COVIDiots Day. And a date sometime in April, the same time as the Jewish holiday of Passover, because people pass over all evidence and common sense. Dr. Michael McDowell is the latest person who's speaking out and exposing the origins of the scandemic. And he covers everything from the reality of the deadly covert genetic bioweapons industry as the backdrop to it, SARS-CoV-2 design and the gain of function, as he follows the money behind global and local trends that we see unfolding before our very eyes, culminating in the rollout of the real bioweapon, the gene-altering injections. Sounds like an overview of our expose series. Good stuff. An ABC News. Fishing, spelt with a PH, not an F, expedition on Facebook took a startling turn over the weekend after a reporter asked readers to share stories of loved ones who died of COVID after refusing or delaying to get the vaccine. But instead, thousands of readers reported of loved ones who died after the vaccination, and even worse, from adverse reactions to the vaccination. Oops. And by noon on Monday, the Post had received over 39,000 angry and often heartbreaking responses. And virtually every string contains a first-hand report by people whose family members are grieving the loss of loved ones of all ages. Meanwhile, a Gateway pundit reported on Monday that nearly 4,000 vaccination deaths have been reported on the VAERS system since July the 24th, at an average of 70 per day. Remember, only 10% or less gets reported. In June, VAERS reported 6,985 deaths due to the COVID vaccines, the report noted, and the number is 11,405 in July and is now at 14,701 reported deaths. I guess many are now starting to see through the illusion we all tried to tell them before they stupidly got involved with the experiment. And here is another example of a group seeing through the illusion. Because multiple public officials in Colorado are warning that the state's official COVID-19 death count is skewed due to the practice of conflating patients who have died directly due to the disease with those who have merely tested positive for it prior to death. And data experts and health officials have long struggled to separate out those two key data points in government tallies of COVID deaths, which is deliberate, leading to accusations that the death rate for the disease is being inflated modestly or even significantly. Now, multiple public officials in Colorado, meanwhile, told Full Measure host Cheryl Atkinson that they had personally observed death tallies that erred on the side of COVID, leading to death counts that were effectively misleading to the public. And Brenda Bock, the county coroner for Grand County, told Atkinson that in November she processed a murder-suicide case, and the very next day it showed up on the state website as a COVID death. And she said there were gunshot wounds, and I questioned that immediately because I'd not even signed off on the death certificate, and yet the state was already reporting them as a COVID death. And Bock even claimed that authorities counted as COVID deaths two individuals who were actually not dead. Here comes some backtracking. After people studied the figures and began questioning them, and so they put out this report, an inaccurate Canadian study that suggested an extremely high rate of heart inflammation after COVID-19 vaccines has been retracted due to a major mathematical error, but not before it spread like wildfire on anti-vaccination websites and social media. And the preprint study, which was released by researchers at the Ottawa Heart Institute last week, but has not been peer-reviewed, neither has the vaccines or anything to do with it, looked at the rate of myocarditis and pericarditis cases after Mode RNA and Pfizer, Bio and Tech vaccinations in Ottawa from June 1st to July the 31st. Now, the study identified 32 patients with the rare side effects. It's not rare anymore, is it? Out of a total of 32,379 doses of mRNA vaccines given in Ottawa in the 2-month period. and it found an inordinately high rate, close to 1 in 1,000, which was significantly higher than other international data has shown. So now they're focusing on the maths error. Well, touche. Because it was Johns Hopkins math errors that started this whole scandemic. The Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine has been filmed by Eric Enby in his interference contrast microscope last month and was then uploaded onto YouTube. And what was observed was living pathogens were injected into unknowing victims. What was also filmed is similar or the same as pictures of bodily fluids of chronically ill people with severe conditions. And he said it's the antibodies that are created by the virus that is causing the infection to get worse. In a healthy environment, spores and virus cannot thrive. And they will be waiting in the body for a change in the environment. But what if these injections are changing the environment? Indeed. This was a report out of the UK. Mass infection of children will have incalculable consequences, it said. And close to 90 children in the UK have already been killed by COVID-19, and an estimated 38,000 aged 2 to 16 are currently living with, quote, long COVID, unquote, according to the Office for National Statistics. And the health idiot, not expert, Witty, admitted we don't know the long-term effects of catching COVID in children. And therein lies the problem. These health jackasses didn't know what was going on before, during or after the virus, and the techno jabs, and they are not fit for purpose. But it's an interesting line he trotted out there. Long COVID. That's a new one. Does that mean they are the ones who take longer to die, Mr. Witty? Here is more evidence that politicians do absolutely nothing for the people. And more folly of Californians voting for this clown again. The Californian governor, Gavin Newsom's state housing department, received $316 million from the federal coronavirus aid relief and Economic Security Act, or better known as CARES Act, through the Emergency Solutions Grant Program. $316 million. But as of early August, the federal government reported that the state had only spent $2 million out of the $316 million it was allocated, less than 1%. According to the California State Auditor's report. Meanwhile, homelessness has been surging in California in recent years, and the homeless are especially vulnerable to the COVID-19, according to the report. And as of January 2020, more than 161,000 Californians were homeless, which is a 16% increase since 2007. And the COVID-19 pandemic poses a particular set of health risks for these vulnerable population, according to the report. $2 million out of 316 million spent helping the people. They're putting it right in your face where the priorities lie. And yet just last week, $1 billion was frittered away to fund the Israeli junta's Iron Dome system that actually doesn't work. It doesn't work. Says it all, really. Oops. Sorry, Israeli officials, but your Iron Dome doesn't work. Right, some other items I would like to cover before we go into two exposés this week. Yep, two exposés. I've wrote that much this week. I've forgotten what I've done. I think I've took part in five shows this week, or in part writing of five shows. So we'll see how that goes. But remember the story a few weeks back about the Marine who called out the top brass? Well, the childlike top brass have taken umbrage to the truth, it seems, as Lieutenant Colonel Stuart Schiller, who was the officer who went viral for blasting the military's leadership amid chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, has now been sent to the brig, according to a report. And his father said, all our son did is ask the questions that everybody was asking themselves, but they were too scared to speak out loud. And he said he was asking for accountability. In fact, I think he even asked for an apology that we made mistakes, but they couldn't even do that, which he felt was mind-blowing. Now, Scheller first rose to internet attention by posting a video to Facebook blasting military leaders for the US withdrawal from Afghanistan and questioning their command decisions on the events leading up to and during the final evacuation effort. And Scheller is currently in pre-trial confinement, a spokesman for the Training and Education Command said of the officer's status, and he said the time, date and location of the proceedings have not been determined, and Lieutenant Colonel Scheller will be afforded all due process, according to that group. One hopes all his military pals and all veterans groups support this guy in his time of need. He did what many of you have failed to do and called the military out for failed policies that has killed, injured or maimed many, many thousands of lives. Go and support him. This was something I warned of on this show as far back as February 2018, and now the Crime Minister for the UK, Boris Johnson & Johnson, has warned that the food shortage crisis ongoing in the UK and other countries could continue for months. And the food sector has been hit with issues as the world emerges from the pandemic, he said, due to a lack of HGV drivers and soaring gas demand, not to mention soaring gas prices, he failed to notice that, that are deliberately engineered at key points in time, and it's this time is to fill the coffers these jackasses lost over the fake pandemic. Now the Crime Minister claimed the problems were temporary. Yeah, right. But he admitted that the food sector was still struggling, which raises fears over the shortages in the run-up to Christmas. Which Christmas, Mr. Johnson? And he said, we're experiencing bottlenecks in all kinds of things as the world wakes up from COVID. Yes, the deep amnesia of bullshittery imposed by the likes of him, think tanks, dark medical magicians, fake science and the criminal media. And he says, it's like everybody going back to put the kettle on at the end of a TV program. We're seeing huge stresses on the world's supply systems. Not quite. The huge stresses are the owners of the shipping lines. And we all know what race they are. And they're charging over 10,000 British pounds for containers that just 18 months ago were less than 2,000 British pounds. Over 500% dearer. It's still the same container. And what have the governments done about that level of price gouging? As usual, nothing. Maybe it's also because the shipping industry is also ran mainly by the agencies Five Eyes and Mossad. And he said, but you're also seeing businesses bouncing back strongly. Which ones are they? Oh, yeah, I forgot. Only the core pirate, giants, jackass groups. Because all the other businesses, Mr. Johnson, and backed by Trump, were deemed as non-essential, remember? And he said it's fundamentally caused by the global economy coming to life again. Except it's not, is it? As we will find out soon. Again, I warned a few months ago about the shift in narrative from COVID to climate change. And here is another example. As Jackass Johnson said in a speech to the United Nations in New York, it is time for humanity to grow up and climate change. As they all flew in on their private gas-guzzling jets and hired their gas-guzzling limousines to shuttle them around the satanic Gotham region. And he said, the world is approaching a critical turning point and countries must finally take responsibility for the destruction we are inflicting on the planet and ourselves, he said. Well, here's the solution. Go and deal with who is responsible then. The greed-based core pirate giants. And his speech comes ahead of the COP26 climate summit in Glasgow, November. I'm sure that'll be quite a Masonic occasion. And the PM has used his US visit to push leaders for action on climate change. And some 100 world leaders are expected to attend the meeting at the UN General Assembly. Really? 100? Well, if they were thinking differently and thinking on climate change, they would have done this meeting via a conference call, would they not? It's a bit like the other child puppet they're pushing out again, flying round here, there and everywhere, whilst telling people they've got to cut back. But amid the metaphors, the Prime Minister made a series of calls for action to the General Assembly members, including to restrain the rise in temperatures to 1.5 degrees, and to pledge, collectively to achieve carbon neutrality, called net zero. People are carbon. Net zero. By the middle of the century, and all countries to step up and to commit to very substantial carbon reductions by 2030. Isn't that an agenda? And he said, in particular with coal, cars, cash and trees. Cash. Is cash going to be deemed a climate change problem? So they can run their fresh air tokens game on us? Of course, pledge, what pledge means, maybe furniture polish back in the UK. But pledge means to hand over your country's resources to the UN. Because this climate change is an asset stripping grab. And he said the developing world to end the use of coal power by 2040 and the developed world to do so by 2030. Wonder why they don't mention nuclear power. Sure, that's far times worse, many times worse than coal. And it says China to phase out the domestic use of coal. Only zero emission vehicles to be on sale across the world by 2040 and every country to cut carbon by 68% to halt and reverse the loss of trees and biodiversity by 2030, and all nations to follow the example of Pakistan, which has pledged to plant 10 billion trees. But it was the oil, fracking and mining companies that cut down the vast swathe of trees. Get them to pay for it. And then he said this classic. Governments to work with the financial institutions, the IMF and the World Bank. Listen closely. To leverage trillions of dollars in the private sector. To leverage trillions of dollars in the private sector. That means steal. The two greed-based harvesters of the old world, both of whom are subsidiaries of the UN, riddled with corruption, fraud, embezzlement, criminality, that will be a no, thank you. Those entities went down for a reason in the old world, and we don't need to bring them back into the new one. And the Prime Minister concluded his speech with a plea for leaders to do right by the next generations. And he said if we keep on current track, then the temperatures will go up by 2.7 degrees or more by the end of the century. Hello? McFly, Mr. Johnson. Except the temperature has gone down by 0.7 centigrade in just the last 5 years. Oops. So that shatters that illusion and waste of money for their whole world domination game. But isn't it funny that suddenly we are interested in the health of the planet, which followed their failed narrative of we are interested in your health. And to do that, we will threaten you, get cops to shoot, punch, pepper spray, water cannon, and run us over. Thanks for the offer, jackasses. But your running of things has failed since governments began, and it's time to let the people think for themselves and decide how to go forward. Not back into the dark ages with dark magicians and the dark overlords. The greed-based cretins never miss an opportunity to bilk shekels, do they? And here's the latest. The financial cost of remaining unvaccinated against COVID-19 is rising. Health insurance providers now asking people who contract the disease to share the cost of the treatment, which can get expensive if it requires a lengthy hospital stay. Now, early in the pandemic, most private insurers waived cost sharing for patients under their plans or even covered the full cost of the treatment. Does anyone ask if they will waive premiums if people don't get COVID? or reduce premiums for people who don't attend doctors and hospitals every month? No? Thought not. But in November of last year, nearly 90% of insured individuals would have had their out-of-pocket costs, including co-pays, co-insurance or payments towards a deductible, waived if they had been hospitalised for COVID-19. And that's according to an analysis done by the Kaiser Family Foundation. But with effective coronavirus vaccines widely available, most insurers are no longer waiving those costs. And the change reflects a broader push by US companies to nudge workers into getting inoculated in hopes of holding down medical expenses. Delta Airlines are now charging unvaccinated employees an extra $200 a month for health coverage. One home insurance company sent my property taxes up one third to cover for the COVID BS. And yet what they won't tell you is this. Insurer profits soared during the pandemic as consumers skipped routine care and delayed elective procedures. And health insurance companies were spending so much less than expected because of the pandemic. No one went to hospital, elective procedures were delayed, and insurers had more money than they were supposed to. And this is according to Matthew Ray, who's the director for the program on the healthcare marketplace. And he said today, by contrast, more than 70% of the nation's largest insurers are no longer waiving COVID-19 treatment costs. And another 10% of plans are planning to phase out cost sharing by the end of October. And he said, still, patients won't be responsible for the full cost of treatment, which can run up to $50,000 for a severe case. $50,000 for a case of flu? Seriously? And we tolerate this shit? $50,000. And he said, fully insured patients hospitalized with pneumonia, which involves similar treatment as for people with COVID-19. Well, I never. Maybe because some of the cases are pneumonia or flu. And he said, typically they end up owing around $1,300, for example. But the average cost is $20,000. How can they justify charging people that amount for the misfortune of being sick? I tell you what is sick. Insurance companies, medical hospitals and clinics, pharmaceutical companies. They are sick, greedy bastards. Stealing money from people who are ill is just about the lowest form of humanity. And these people selling and peddling pharmaceutical drugs, regardless of the dangers, are pure snake oil people. As an example, the entity known as Tank did that just prior to harvesting funds for a fake RV and now harvesting funds for fake TV channels and their latest version of It's All Happening crew. Except their record to date is around 0 out of 40 plus. 50,000. Shocking. A university has told Pennsylvania students I wonder what state that is in. Pennsylvania. Perhaps Alaskan American. The last one didn't know. That action could be taken against them if they do not respect their classmates' preferred pronouns. Really? And Point Park University's Office of Equity and Inclusion notified incoming students of its misgendering. Wonder who she is, misgendering. Pronoun misuse and the dead naming policy in an email first obtained by Campus Reform. Now, dead naming occurs when someone, intentionally or not, refers to a person who's transgender by the name they used before they transitioned. You confused, yeah? That's the whole point of the exercise, you see. Then every organisation, has to be said, is guilty of this whenever they use anyone's name in capital letters. Because capital letters means dead. So that is dead naming. And it's stated that any individual who has been informed of another person's gender identity, pronouns or chosen name is expected to respect that individual. How are you supposed to keep up with everyone changing their names? And it said action could be taken if a complaint is filed regarding the policy. While the university recognises the aspect of intent versus impact, we must recognise that regardless of the intent, if an individual is impacted in a harmful way, action could be taken if a complaint is filed. Now, when asked how they would enforce this policy, crickets. Zero comment. Now, thankfully, not everyone is on board with the school's policy, and Logan Dubill, the campus reform correspondent and student at PPU, said the school's policies go against many students' belief systems, especially conservative students. And he said, personally, I believe in the science. There are two sexes and two genders, male and female. And the policies in question force me to go against my beliefs. And the fact that I can be disciplined by failing to follow policies that violate my conscience is concerning. Now, Cherise Trump, executive director of Speech First, said that forcing students to profess beliefs against their will is inconsistent with the freedom of thought and expression that the university claims to promote. Now, the university has prioritised students' feelings over their rights and has turned some students into second-class citizens as a result. The great question all parents must answer is, should our children really be put in this environment of being frightened to speak or say anything? All because of these word salad jackasses who are offended by anything and absolutely everything. Should you be putting your children in that environment? And this whole thing is a victimhood program, and people with self-mastery care not what people call them. There was a documentary from 1989, and in it, Bill Mollison, the person who coined the phrase permaculture, warned the world about the dire straits the agricultural systems were in. And he said, while the concepts of permaculture and regenerative agriculture are spreading throughout the world, it's not enough. And he said it has to be done on a large scale in order to reverse the desertification of our native soils. And here are some of the quotes from the documentary that I found particularly inspiring. Agriculture as we know it since 1940, which just happens to coincide with the Dust Bowl, is just a continuation of the Second World War. He said, slowly, armament and chemical manufacturers, hello Monsanto, directed their weapons against nature, and nothing on earth is as destructive as modern agriculture. If we cannot stop agriculture, we are all dead. And he said, modern agriculture is not a system for producing food, but a system for producing shekels. And he said, if we grew all our food in the city, our food would be 95% cheaper. And a city like New York loses 13% of its food just in transport and distribution. 13%. And before the Industrial Revolution, most people lived and worked on the farm. But with the Industrial Revolution came the machines. And the machines moved to the farms, and the people moved to the cities to work in factories to make more machines. And he said we should make scientists accountable. At present, he said, they are sociopaths as well as psychopaths. Now, hopefully this is something we can build in the village and rely on our food more and less of their shit and scarcity tactics. Who would have thought that Dr. Anthony I Don't Give a Fauci was a bloodline Sicilian family, home of the mafia? And his ancestry goes back to Sicily, and they were part of the nobility, as previously I Don't Give a Fauci's had von in their title. Van and von are nobility titles with the names, like Anna von Reitz, title of nobility. Now, his ancestors were called Siakas, spelt S-C-I-A-C-C-A, which curiously is the same phonetically as Siaka, spelt C-I-A-K-A-R. Perhaps like the agency, that is a pointer. The Faucis were related to the Abbeys family, A-B-Y-S, who were the Swiss commissioner of war. They were also traders of gold, silver, uranium, coal and ores, and talc. The environment destroyers then. They were also the writers of the Swiss Constitution, benefactors and founders of Credit Suisse, Swiss Life, Swiss Railroads, EIH Institute of Technology, in collaboration with Alfred Escher, which leads to Escher Wyss or Weiss, and also Klaus Schwab. Oops. And the Abbeys family crest, who were Rhaetian nobility, has a crowned serpent devouring a human child, whilst carrying a black yoke balancing two buckets of gold, which is a satanic symbolism. But it also reveals how they make money off human children. As when a child is born, they are weighed for a specific purpose. Their weight is transferred into the value of gold of that day, and the price of the gold is then placed in a trust account of the child, which is interest-bearing. But should the child not claim the account after 7 years, they are declared dead, lost at sea, and the trustee of the account claims the bounty. And this is your SESKV Trust, which they implemented it in London, UK, after the false flag fire burned most of it to the ground in 1666. Now, reation is also a time period, which was the same time as the so-called Jurassic event that wiped out the dinosaurs and the large serpents, which may be telling. This piece will be familiar to all who have listened to the From Russia With Love series, and I wonder where Fox News got the info from. In a video posted to Fox News' YouTube account on Wednesday, Carlson said President Joe Biden has aligned himself with the sentiments of the Great Replacement, which Carlson explained as the replacement of legacy Americans with more obedient people from faraway countries. And he said they brag about it all the time, but if you dare to say it's happening, they will scream at you with maximum hysteria. Sound familiar? The next sentence will clarify. Historian, author and University of Chicago assistant professor Kathleen Bellew recently explained the theory to NPR's Lulu Garcia Navarro. And she said, the idea is that somehow non-white people or outsiders or strangers or foreigners will overtake the United States via immigration, reproduction and seizure of political power, she said. And that is one reason that the ADL is sensitive to this issue, is that many incarnations of this theory involve a supposed cabal of Jewish elites. Well, I never. The ADL, who are a racist Jewish front and lobby group on behalf of Jewish elites, are now asking for Tucker Carlson to be fired for just suggesting it. It's funny the same fake outrage was not applied to Black Lives Matter, isn't it? And Carlson said Biden is motivated to have high numbers of immigrants to change the racial mix of the country to reduce the political power of people whose ancestors lived here and dramatically increase the proportion of Americans newly arrived from the third world. It's much worse than that, Tucker, and we at THI know it all too well. You know what the Gates of Babylon is or was? Lion's Gate, the Lion of Judah. Oops, that's another New Age myth, ruined. Did I say before that the Iron Dome doesn't work? I can't remember. It doesn't work. Right, Exposé 1. Here is a group of dirty influencers too few have even heard of. And they're called the Sweet 8F group out of Texas. And the Sweet 8F group, which was named after their regular meeting place rented long term by Brown and Root, was a network of politically active businessmen in Texas from the 1930s into the 1960s. And the name comes from the room in the Lamar Hotel in Houston, Texas, where they held their meetings. And the room was reported to have been permanently rented to and paid by Brown and Root. Now, Brown and Root are now called Kellogg Brown and Root, or KBR. Maybe KBG. Maybe the one and the same. And they sound like a subsidiary of the private contractors group employed by agencies. Think Halliburton and Bechtel. And Northrop Grumman. Now, today, KBR actively contributes to ongoing projects across North America, Europe, Russia, you know, the enemies, and also the Middle East. And they say we've had a continuous presence in more than 120 sites with an average tenure of 18 years and more than 40 years on some sites. So you know exactly what they are. Mercenaries. But this particular group had its heyday when their man, Lyndon B. Johnson, became president. Oops. And its influence, according to a Texas Monthly, the 8F crowd, had gained unequaled influence in state and national government after the end of World War II, when George R. Brown, Gus Wertham, and Charles Francis of Vinson and Elkins founded Texas Eastern. And the group was reported to exercise leverage over big oil, which means at some point it involved the Bushes. Now, the 8F crowd had connections to various media outlets also, including the Houston Chronicle, the Houston Post, the television or Tell Lies and Fake Vision station, KPRC, and the radio stations KPRC and KTRK-TV, the History Channel. Now, Sweet 8F helped to coordinate the political activities of other right-wing politicians and businessmen that were based in the South. And this included Robert Anderson, President of Texas Mid-Continent Oil and Gas Association, Secretary of the Navy, and also Secretary of the Treasury. Oops. Robert Kerr of Kerr McGee Oil Industries, Billy Sol Estes, an entrepreneur in the cotton industry, Glenn McCarthy of McCarthy Oil and Gas Company, Earl E.T. Smith of U.S. Sugar Corporation, Fred Korth of Continental National Bank, and also a Navy Secretary. Ross Sterling of Humble Oil, Sid Richardson, a Texas oil millionaire, Clint Murchison of Delhi Oil, Haroldson L. Hunt of Placid Oil, Eugene B. Germany of Mustang Oil Company, David Harold Bird of Bird Oil Corporation, Lawrence D. Bell of Bell Hot Helicopters, William Pauley, who had business interests in Cuba, well, I never, and Gordon McLendon of KLIF, George Smathers, who is of the Finance Committee and businessman, Richard Russell, the chairman of the Committee of Manufacturers, and the Committee of Armed Forces and Committee of Appropriations, James Eastland, Chairman of the Judiciary Committee, Benjamin Everett Jordan, Chairman of the Senate Rules Committee, and Fred Black, political lobbyist, and Serve U Corporation, and Bobby Baker, political lobbyist, and also of the Serve U, or Serve Just Us Corporation. Quite a substantial mini empire they had going on there. And like we said all along, it's all interconnected. Now, the purpose of the group and one of the main concerns of this group was to protect the interest of the Texas oil industry and the most prolific in oil reserves in the United States. That was not discovered until October 1930. The discovery of oil in Texas caused a small group of men to own a great deal of money, and they decided to join in order to keep their earnings, and this includes strategies to keep the price of oil as high as possible. And that is why it is a cartel. Now, the origins of the word cartel in 1550s was a written challenge, a letter of defiance from French cartel, from Italian cartello, which is placard, the diminutive of the word carter. So cartel comes from the word carter, which makes the Magna Carta a cartel, which was for and by the nobility, not the people. Now, it also came to mean written agreement between states at war, 1690s, the exchange of prisoners or some other mutual advantage, and then a written agreement between challengers of any sort in 1889. A sense of commercial trust. An association of industrialists is from the 1900s, which is what we understand today via the German cartel, spelt with a K, which is actually from France or French. Now, the older term, older US term for a cartel is called a trust. Oops. And the usual German name for them was Inter S. Engmannschaft. I did well with that. Which, when abbreviated, is IG, which brings in IG Farben. Now, the Texas oil millionaires also fought hard to maintain their tax benefits, and the most important of these was the oil depletion allocation, and was first introduced in 1913 and allowed producers to use the allowable depletion to deduct only 5% of their income, and the deduction was limited to the original cost of their goods. But Dwight D. Eisenhower, Dutch and Jewish, decision to cancel this tax loophole angered the oil industry, and Sid Richardson and Clint Murchison began negotiations with Eisenhower. And in June 1957, Eisenhower agreed to appoint their man, this is the Sweet 8F group, Robert Anderson, as the Secretary of the Treasury. All corrupt. And according to Robert Sherrill in his book, The Accidental President, a few weeks later, Anderson was appointed to a cabinet committee to study the oil import situation, and out of this study came the present-day program, which benefits the major oil companies that the international oil giants primarily by about $1 billion a year. And on the advice of the Texan Lyndon B. Johnson, Kennedy appointed John Connolly as the Secretary of the Navy. And this is an important position as it controls a large amount of the federal spending, including the contract for the supply of oil to the United States Navy, more secretly known as the SSP. But when Connolly became governor of Texas, Johnson organized his friend from Texas, Fred Korth, to become the new Secretary of the Navy. All from the same group. However, 2 years later, Kennedy decided to take on the oil industry, And on October the 16th, 1962, Kennedy was able to persuade Congress to pass a law that eliminated the distinction between repatriated profits and profits reinvested abroad. And while this law applies to the industry as a whole, it mainly affected the oil companies. And it's estimated that as a result of this legislation, rich oilmen saw their earnings on foreign investment drop from 30% to 15%. 15% is a good earnings, but not to these greed-based snake oil people. And on January 17, 1963, President Kennedy presented his proposals for tax reform, where he claimed that he wanted to eliminate special privileges and loopholes. And the president even said he wanted to do away with the oil depletion allowance. Now, it is estimated that the proposed removal of the oil depletion allowance would result in a loss of about $300 million a year for the Texans. In November of 1963, Fred Korf was forced to resign as a result of corruption allegations following the award of a $7 million contract for a combat aircraft, the General Dynamics TFX, who was a Texas-based company. Now, of course, JFK was forced to resign in a different way later that month. But Fred Korf, spelt with a K, has interesting links. And when he was a private lawyer, one of his clients was Edwin A. Ekdahl, who was officially divorced from Marguerite Frances Clavery Ekdahl, who is also known as Marguerite Oswald, whose son from a previous marriage was Lee Harvey Oswald. And following the end of Korf's first marriage in 1964, he then began a romantic relationship with heiress and socialite Marjorie Merriweather Post, who is the daughter of the breakfast cereal magnate C.W. Post, who was 20 years his senior. And he was a co-executor of Post's will, and part of her estate was her mansion on Palm Beach Island, Mar-a-Lago, that was purchased in 1980 by Donald Trump. His stepdaughter, Melissa Williams O'Rourke, is the mother of the former US Representative Beto O'Rourke. It's all interconnected, as we have stated all along. Exposé 2, the Gates-Wuhan email leak. Around 20 to 25,000 of sets of email addresses and passwords were released online in April of last year, and the corrupt controlled media did not report the story widely, but Robert Potter, who is an independent Australian cybersecurity expert, said that the data was real, as he could verify some of the email IDs and passwords of the World Health Organization. Now, the leak was initially reported by Site Intelligence, and the data was posted to 4chan first. And the affected organizations were the NIH, CDC, the World Bank, World Horror Organization, Gates Foundation, the Wuhan Institute of Virology, in that order. And the Washington Post version of the story was written by Suad Mekhanet and Craig Timberg. And Vice wrote that the neo-Nazis are spreading a list of emails and passwords for the Gates Foundation and World Health Organization employees. Wonder why they called them neo-Nazis, and not just people posting the truth. But since no more information related to these email accounts was released, the leak was possibly only intended to show that a breach has taken place and how much time has passed since then. But documents also show of how the German government was planning to create fear. Because an internal paper from the German Federal Ministry of the Interior, dated March 22, 2020, dealt with the communication strategies and how to get the population to agree to lockdowns and other measures. And the government should use historical comparisons, it said, such as the Spanish flu of 1919. Well, I never. The 100-year loop. And the Great Depression of 1929, and then say that the new crisis is worse than both together, as most people would then see it as a danger. And three specific example scenarios to create fear were mentioned. One should make it clear, they said, to the population how terrible it is to suffocate. Suffocating is a primordial fear of people, and to point this out would make an impression on people. In addition, one should also scare the children, the paper says. Children are easily infected, even with exit restrictions. Example from the children of the neighbourhood. If you then infect your parents and one of them dies in agony at home, then the child will feel that it is to blame for it. For example, because you forgot to wash your hands after playing, and that is the worst thing that a child can ever experience. This is your German government. In addition, the long-term consequences should be urgently pointed out, such as chronic lung damage or an increased risk of heart attacks, both of which are caused by the vaccine. It also stated how to create a global false alarm. And in May 2020, an internal paper from the German Federal Ministry of the Interior, BMI, was leaked to the media after it was blocked within the ministry. And the statement was written by a senior civil servant in Department KM4, Protection of Critical Infrastructure. And the paper concluded the state has proven to be one of the largest fake news producers during the corona crisis, and the observable effects and the effects of COVID-19 do not provide sufficient evidence that, in terms of the health effects on society as a whole, it is more than a false alarm. In probability, we are dealing with a global false alarm that has remained undetected for a long time. And in its response, the ministry stated that the paper was written by a single employee, and the employee was neither involved in the crisis team nor commissioned or authorized to create or publish such an analysis, and it reflects his private opinion, not that of the Federal Ministry of the Interior. Yeah, right, the plausible deniability trick again. But if the employee was not involved, how did the employee write the paper to begin with? And these jackasses think we are all as stupid as they are. And yet these are called the intelligence agencies. I think someone's played a joke on them, because they act like retard agencies to me. And the Pfizer leak on the 26th of July this year, the cybersecurity researcher Eden Biber started to publish the contract that Pfizer has with Brazil and Albania online, and revealing, among other things, that the corporation had guaranteed full indemnity for all vaccine injuries. And these are some of the findings of that contract that Brazil and Albania were forced to sign to get these techno jabs. Now, Pfizer uses a standard format for contracts with slight amendments for each country. There is a non-disclosure clause of 10 years. But it also has information that that non-disclosure clause is 30 years for Israel. Oops. Even if another drug or vaccine to cure the disease is found, the purchaser cannot exit the contract. And it said Pfizer is not bound by a delivery date, can decide what amount with each delivery, and if late, the purchaser cannot cancel certain quantities. The Brazilian contract prohibits the testing and the identification of batches. Oops. And that Pfizer will not be liable for any damages because according to Pfizer's contract, the long-term effects and efficacy of the vaccine are not currently known. Time for a cool change. Final piece tonight. You may want to listen closely. In a week where David Wilcock is wheeled back out to control the narrative of the alt media after others failed to change the script, Wilcock was sent out with the premise of doom, with the title "They Panicked When They Saw the Future," which is a reference to the looking glass technology again. Now that tech in that format no longer works. But it doesn't stop the likes of Wilcock and Goguen trotting out stuff in relation to it, generally based on fear. While everyone panicked about 1221, I personally rejoiced and waited eagerly for the other calendar to end the year. I had been waiting since 2008. So why did I do that? Well, December 21st was the end point. If we got past it, it was the end point for them. But December the 21st was the end of year at one point. And so with that date passed, the end of the year, or the new year from the new calendar, was 10 days later. Now I wrote a lengthy piece on January 1st on Cosmic Voice relating why I was happy that year had passed and how everything will be different. Events of the past 9 years has proven that. But the likes of Wilcox and Goguen, whether coerced, naive or complicit in it, matters not. They are trying to loop us back in time to pre-2012, and like the clowns, they will fail. Their time is up, and it's our time to go forward and create something better. Two of our members have witnessed very strange and extremely bright lightning this week. I mean ultra bright. I witnessed it and it was very different to the normal lightning. Remember, I came from the lightning capital of the world, Central Florida, so I've seen all types of lightning. This is different. The lightning appeared to be coming from a storm, which coincidentally did not show up on the radar, from a minimum of 60 to 100 miles away. And yet the flash left imprints on your eyeballs, which is only experienced if it was close up. Now, another member witnessed it last night, and this raises interesting possibilities. Is this form of lightning designed to cleanse whole areas? Lightning produces an increase in O3, or ozone, which cleanses the air and all below it. Ponder on that deeply. A very rare and symbolic animal turned up at my place of birth this week. What does it mean? Is it symbolic? You decide. But here is a section of what the white stag reveals. When the white stag strides into your life, the creature brings you a sense of great responsibility. You are moving into a time in your life where maturity matters most. White stag is a sign you stand at the gateway to a whole new spiritual level of understanding. The white stag's appearance means you have the spirit guides lending energetic support to you for the emotional or spiritual work ahead. White stag also comes to remind you to walk with integrity and remain mindful of your thought forms. The creature presence is an omen, signaling a time of manifestation. Here, your animal spirit guide may carry the warning of watching what you wish for, which is about controlling your own thought forms. And the stag's appearance in your awareness suggests it's time to consider all potential outcomes associated with the fulfillment of your desires. The key words in that were responsibility, maturity, spirituality, integrity, and gateway. As autumn approaches, many people will head to the northeast of America for the fall colours. But that can be seen in many locations across America as the red, gold, orange and green colours create a spectacular backdrop of scenery. Many find it awe-inspiring. Many find peace and solace not only in the fall, but being amongst the trees in the woods and back to nature also. The trees kept their memories when humanity didn't, and that is why they are hugged like distant friends of the past. But the trees bring us lessons also. How to stand tall despite ankle biters at their base. How to reach for and turn towards the light of day. How to communicate with other trees and how to conserve water. These are life lessons for us all. I'm sorry, Holly, but here comes the cryptic part again. The trees remember there is no sun in the shadow of the wizard. There is no sun in the shadow of the moon either. As the wizard falls instead of rising, as time stands still and there's blood in the sand, where was your star? Not where is your star. I see a rainbow rising. Look back on your horizon. We're coming home. We're coming home. We're coming home. Take me back and give me back my will. You can see, but you are blind. Someone turned the sun around, but you can see in your mind. You're riding the endless caravan, loop, bonded and sold as a slave, but a saber dance removing all the veils, getting as good as you gave. But sleep with the devil, and then you must pay. The power of what has been before rises to trap you within. A magic carpet ride, a genie, maybe more, becomes a city of heavenly sin. The devil is me, and I'm holding the key. No, the devil is us, and we are holding the key. You are the key to change the devil within us all. You have the choice, and you can be free if you all let it all go. But despite growing every year, the trees do something every autumn that can be another important lesson for us all. Every autumn, their leaves, they grew for months, they release and let them go. As each one falls to the ground, they don't mourn a sense of loss. They prepare to rebuild, grow and start all over again when the sun rises and warms once again. You are the rising sun, and you have the warmth. Use it. So collect all your traumas, pains, angst and fears, and just let them go. You, like the tree, will be stronger for it, and like the tree, you will continue to grow. Let us not see or partake in the autumn fall. Let us be the autumn rise. This has been the Truth, Honour and Integrity Show. My name's Thomas Williams. I'll see you all on Saturday. Bye for now.